Welcome to the broadcast of Crosstown Church of Memphis. We are a church that is Christ-centered, diversity-driven, and community-committed. A church that's bringing people together, sharing God's message of hope, love, and service. We seek to love God, love people, and serve the city. We welcome you to our broadcast with Pastor Byron Fitzpatrick.
Well, thanks again for joining us at Crosstown Church of Memphis. For those of you that are joining us for the very first time, we are in a teaching series which is titled The Enemy Within. And today we're on part three, which is titled Selfishness. We've been talking about some enemies that's within of us. And one of the things that we know and understand through scriptures in the Bible, but also through just our life experiences, that we all have this inner thing that we deal with, which is called sin, this inner sin that is within us. The Apostle Paul, he said, when I want to do right, I find myself doing wrong. When I want to do good, I do bad. He said, as much as I try to do right, I still find myself doing wrong. And he said, it is the sin that is within me that causes me to do this. And we all have this inner sin that's within us. None of us is without sin. All of us deal with certain issues throughout our lives on a daily basis that causes us to think about, to actually act on certain things that we know that we shouldn't, where we know that are sin, things that go against God's word, things that are out of our character. And we just, it's like we have this, you know, this little, we've seen in these television images and cartoon images and drawings, you know, have a little white angel sitting on one shoulder and you have this little red devil sitting on the other shoulder. They both are feeding into your ear, telling you, you know, to do one thing or to do another thing. And we all, it's like we have these little men or little men or women or whoever you want to call them, however you want to describe them, sitting on our shoulder telling us to do good or to tell us to do bad. And it's our choice, it's our decision. We have the free will to decide as to which one we're going to listen to. A lot of times, you know, hopefully we listen to the right one, but sometimes we do listen to the wrong one, you know, and that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, sometimes, you know, he listened to the wrong voice. Sometimes he's listening to the little red devil that's on his shoulder, as opposed to listening to that little white angel, the Holy Spirit that's on his shoulder. And so we're dealing with this enemy that's within us, amen. And so today we're going to be talking about selfishness. All of us know what selfishness is, amen. So I want to tell you guys about a story, okay? And I don't know if it's not an actual story. It's our life. Let's put it that way. Let me tell y'all about our life. All right, Marguerite. She's actually a whole lot better now, but I'm finna tell on her, y'all. She had this habit and it went on for years. And she is a whole lot better now. And that is, for those of you that are married, you know, you can relate to this, and or maybe you got kids in the house or whatever, you know, but people that you live with, you buy stuff for you. When you go to the store, there's certain things that you like, all right? You ain't thinking about nobody else. This is what you like. You know, there are certain things that you buy for everybody. You buy for the whole house. But every now and then you buy something just for you because that's what you like. That's your favorite. That's your thing, right? And I used to, Marguerite, she's a chipaholic. She loved chips. Chips of every kind. She be buying, what's it called? Chicken and waffle chips.
Oh, those my favorite.
Oh, come on, man. She'd be buying chicken and dumpling chips. She would buy chicken and dressing chips. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? So she's a chipaholic. She loves chips, right? I like chips too, but I don't eat a whole lot of different types of chips. You know what I mean? There's like two or three that I like my go-to chips. So every now and then I'll buy some chips. She buy them all the time. I'll buy some chips every now and then. When I do, Marguerite will eat up my chips. She'll have five bags of chips, a whole bunch of stuff that I don't like. I'll have one bag of chips in the cabinet, and those are the chips that I like. She'll eat up my chips. And this is what she'll do. She'll leave me crumbs. She'll leave me just a little handful of chips after she'd ate up my whole bag. My bag would be sitting in the cabinet, in the counter, in the cabinet for, you know, a week. I ain't even open. Hers, all of hers are open. Every single one of her bags are open. She's been eating out of them. Mine is sitting there for a whole week. I haven't even opened it yet. And she'll be like, Byron, do you mind if I open up some of your chips? Can I have some of your chips? I'm like, oh, I don't care, Margaret. Go ahead. Help yourself. You know what I mean? Then when I go look for the chips, it's just a handful in there. She done ate up all my chips. Ate up all my chips. And I used to get so mad when she would do this. And it would make me feel like, you know, she is just selfish. How can she eat up all my chips when she got a whole bag of her own chips? She got six bags of chips and I just got one and she's gonna eat up all of mine. You know, I used to tell her, you just selfish. You just selfish. You just thinking about yourself. You ain't thinking about nobody else. And you definitely ain't thinking about me eating up all my chips. But those of you on here that can relate, just say amen, amen. You don't even have to unmute your mic. If you want to unmute, do what you can. So for those of you, so Bridget.
Amen. Amen.
There we go. So Bridget and Talisha, I just want to let you guys know. So if you want to say amen, you can unmute your mic real quick, say amen, and then mute it back. Or if you're on video and you want to say amen, just wave your hand. I can see you. Just wave your hand. So you can say amen. That's my point. All right. But yeah. So we all can relate. That's just selfish, right? That's just downright selfish. Selfishness is when you are concerned excessively or exclusively with yourself without regard for others. When Marguerite would do this, I would just feel like she had no regard for me whatsoever. She had no concern for me whatsoever. She was only concerned about herself and her own taste buds. She wanted to taste my chips. When she had a whole bunch of chips, she can eat her own chips, but she wanted to eat my chips. Leave my chips alone. All right, there's nothing wrong with being concerned with yourself. There's nothing wrong with being concerned about yourself. In fact, you should be concerned about yourself. You should be, you know, concerned about yourself. You should have regards for yourself. You know, we should love. The Bible tells us to do what? To love your neighbor, do what? As yourself, amen? So you should have concern for yourself. The problem is so many people are so concerned about themselves in a way that they just have no regard for other people. And they have no concern for other people. They totally disregard everyone else in the process of having concern for themselves or regarding themselves. You know, when we do this, it causes us, when we have no regard for other people, it causes us to mistreat them. You know, when I would think that I would feel like Marguerite was just constantly mistreating me, eating up all my stuff and leaving hers, and just going through hers at a normal pace and just running through mine. I just felt like she was mistreating me. You know, when we do this, when we disregard other people, we take advantage of them. Mm-hmm. You know, we take advantage of them and what they got going on, and we use them. When you take advantage of somebody, you're using them for your own personal gain or your own personal benefit. You know, also when we disregard others, it even causes us to go to a place where we might even abuse them. We will mistreat them to an extreme level to where it actually becomes abuse. You know, whether it's intentional or not, we end up hurting people and not doing what Jesus commanded us to do, and that is to love our neighbor as ourselves. We need to consider others in all that we do. Amen? The book of Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, it says this. It says, don't be selfish. So somebody, if you need to hear me right now, just hear me, okay? Don't.
Amen. Oh. I'm taking my notes.
Never mind. That just went over your head. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3 and 4, it says, don't be selfish. It says, don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. I'm going to come back to that, y'all. Don't think only about your own interests, but be interested in others and what they are doing.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible is telling us, the Apostle Paul here is telling us not to be selfish people. He's telling us to think about other people. He's telling us to have regard and have concern about other people. He even goes to this place that it seems like, sounds like, looks like, feels like, dude, you're going a little bit too far right here. He says, be humble. Okay, cool. I got you on that. He says, thinking of others as better than yourself. You mean you want me to think of others better than myself, that goes against the grain right there, right? We need to think of ourselves. I mean, you know, now, we don't want to think of ourselves as being better than somebody else, or we don't want to think about others. He said, think of others as better than yourself. We don't want to think about other people as being better. Here's what the Apostle Paul is attempting to do. This is what he's trying to get us to understand. If we think about people in a high regard, if we consider people in a high regard and sometimes better than ourselves, it doesn't necessarily mean we should act in that way. What's going to happen is it's going to cause us to really process what's going on. It's going to cause us to really process this and say, hey, man, I need to give a higher regard for this person than I'm actually giving them. I need to have a higher concern for this person that I'm actually having for them. He says, don't think only about your own interest. When we think about somebody and we think about them as better than ourselves, what's going to happen is we're going to boost their interest up to a level where we're going to have a higher regard and a higher concern about it. He said, but be interested in others and what they are doing. You guys know the story about Cain and Abel, right? Everybody knows the story about Cain and Abel. Even the heathens know about Cain and Abel, right? Anyway, Cain and Abel. They were the sons of Adam and Eve. And we all know that there was a time where God told Adam and Eve and told Cain and Abel to bring an offering to him. And Abel brought an offering, which was a slain lamb, a sheep, a baby sheep that had been slain. And he brought that to God. God accepted his offering. Cain, he brought some, I think it was fruits and grains, mm-hmm. some fruits or something like that. And it was not accepted. His offering was rejected. I got a whole lesson on this thing, guys. And, you know, for those of you that is not a part of Crosstown Church of Memphis, I have a whole lesson. If you want it, I can give you access to it. Our video is on YouTube somewhere, anywhere. It's out there somewhere. But I got a whole lesson on this, why God rejected Cain's offering. And I'm not going to get into it, but if you want it, you want a whole new perspective on this thing, hit me up and I'll get you access to it. But I got a whole teaching on why God rejected Cain's offering. But anyway, in this story, we know the story, you know, God rejects Cain's offering and he didn't get the response from God that he was hoping that he would get. And because he didn't get the response from God that he was hoping to get, he got upset. And then he's looking at his brother, Abel. Abel got, you know, his offering was accepted and God was treating him nice and everything like that. And it goes on. He became very jealous and it drove him to a place where he actually killed his own brother. And God saw this and God approached Cain and he asked him the question. He asked Cain, he said, where is your brother? You know, here's the thing about it. When we think about Cain and Abel, one of the things that we think about is so far as Cain is concerned is that Cain was a very jealous person. He was extremely jealous of his brother. You know, and true that is, he was extremely jealous of his brother. He had no regard for his brother whatsoever. So we all think about Cain and we think about his jealousy, but here's a question. Have you ever thought about how selfish Cain was? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah, he was jealous. Yeah, he was filled with rage. Yeah, he was angry. Yeah, he became a murderer, killing his own brother. But have you ever thought about that he was a selfish person, how selfish he was? Cain had no regard for his own brother. None whatsoever. He was only concerned about his own situation. He was only concerned about this offering that he had put together to bring to God, which wasn't the instructed offering that God told him to bring. That's in my teaching, y'all. And then he was only concerned about God rejecting his offering. Well, if he would have did the right thing and followed the instructions, God wouldn't have rejected it. He was only concerned about his disappointment or the anger and everything, all of his own feelings and all of his own emotions and everything that was going on in him. That's the only thing he was concerned about. He wasn't even concerned about his own brother. He didn't have no regard for his own brother. Because he was so selfish, he couldn't even celebrate his brother's victory, or he couldn't even celebrate, you know, what was going on with his brother because he was just too jealous. He was just too selfish. He was only thinking about himself, his own feelings, his own situation. And he was so selfish to a point where it took him into a place where he allowed for his jealousy to kill his own brother. When God asked him, he says, where is your brother? His response was this. His response was, Y'all know the response. Am I my brother's keeper? We all we got. Yeah, you are brother's keeper. He said, am I my brother's keeper? To God, of all people, right? I was like, oh my gosh, bro, do you realize who you talk to? You know, sometimes, you know, as growing up, when we would say, respond to our parents a certain type of way, you know, we had to be ready for, you know, a backhand slap, you know, we had to be ready for a shoe coming at us or something, you know, and we had to be ready to duck if you respond a certain type of way. And I look at this like this, bro, did you really say that to God? You didn't really ask God that question? I would have been scared to say that, but the man said, am I my brother's keeper? This very question was an indication that he had no regard for Abel, even after killing him. When God asked him this question, he had already killed his brother. His brother was already dead. He already tried to cover it up or do whatever he did, you know? And God asked him, where is your brother? Am I my brother's keeper? This response has no remorse in it whatsoever. God is asking him about his brother. His response is, wait a minute, this is me, God, am I? A selfish response. It's not even about his brother, it's about himself. Is it my responsibility? A selfish response. Cain was a very selfish people. I hope y'all see this. We must realize that we are our brother's keeper. We should look out for one another, and we should have concern and regard, not just for ourselves, but for others also. You guys, I have a video I want to show you guys. You know, I've been using some video clips throughout this series from the movie Spider-Man 3. And so I have a video clip that I want to share with you guys. So y'all sit back and watch this video clip, all right?
Would you like a drink? I'm sorry. What was I thinking? Bad for the public image, right, Mr. Key to the City?
What did you do to her?
I did what you failed to do. I was there for her. Mary Jane and I, we understand each other.
She doesn't know what you are.
Peter, she knows me very well. And when she kissed me, it was just like she used to kiss me. That taste. Strawberries. Like that, Spidey.
That all you got? Stings, doesn't it?
I protected you in high school, now I'm gonna kick your little...
Trying to convince you.
You took him from me. He loved me.
No. He despised you. You were an embarrassment to him. Oh. Look at little Goblin Jr. Gonna cry?
Woo!
You know, here in this scene with Spider-Man or Peter Parker and Harry Olsen, they are having a major fight, as you can see here. And one thing that you have to know is that Peter Parker and Harry were best friends. They were best friends at one point. They even were roommates at one point. You know, they were like brothers. You know, we think about Cain and Abel. They were brothers. Harry and Peter Parker, they were like brothers together. Harry, he is also the son of Norman Osborn. Norman Osborn was the Green Goblin. He was the original Green Goblin. Harry is his son. Spider-Man and Norman, the Green Goblin, were actually in a fight, and through that, got Green Goblin Norman Osborn actually got killed. And so there's a lot of things that happened here that affected Harry's and Peter's relationship. You know, Harry, he was also dating Mary Jane. Mary Jane and Harry, they were boyfriend and girlfriend for a while. And, you know, Spider-Man or Peter Parker, he fell in love with Mary Jane. He fell in love with his best friend's girl, right? You know, Harry had a lot of things that was going on in his life. You know, he dated Mary Jane for a while. You know, Mary Jane broke it off because of his drug use. Harry got into drugs and a lot of different things that was going on with him, and because drugs led him to a destructive behavior. And Mary Jane's like, I just can't do this no more. Peter, he always had a liking for her. Like I said, he fell in love for her. You know, there was an incident that happened here that caused this fight. And Harry and Mary Jane, they had an encounter. You know, Harry kind of disrespected Mary Jane and what have you. And Peter Parker, he found out about it. He got mad, which resulted to this fight that we just saw. Because of this venomous, you know, the venomous black Spider-Man suit, if you saw it, you can see the collar of it underneath his jacket that he had on. This venomous black suit was bringing out a different side of Peter Parker. It was bringing out a bad side of Peter Parker. It was causing Peter Parker to deal with the enemy that was within him, the same enemy that we all deal with. And it's that dark side, or that side that the little red man is sitting on our shoulder telling us to do bad things. And that black suit was like that little red man to Peter Parker, telling him to do bad things or making him or influencing him to do bad things. And so a lot of ways Peter Parker was acting out of character. He was not acting like himself. And him and Harry got into this fight. In this encounter with Harry, Peter Parker totally disregards what's going on with Harry. He has no concern whatsoever what Harry is dealing with, because he only has concern for his own jealous feelings causing him to seek revenge. Revenge was one of our lessons that we dealt with. I think that was a couple of weeks ago, right before Easter. So for those of you that didn't get a chance, you can go to our YouTube channel, ByronFitzpatrick.com. There's a playlist on there that's titled Crosstown Church of Memphis, or you can go to our church website, wearecrosstown.com, and the video message is on there, or our podcast. I'm plugging y'all right now. We got a podcast called wearecrosstown.com on most podcast outlets. You can listen to it there. It's part two of The Enemy Within. We talked about revenge, and Peter Parker, he had no concern, no regard whatsoever. He was very selfish, that he didn't even give any regard for what Harry was dealing with. It caused him to respond and to act out in this rage of revenge. You know, if Peter Parker had taken some regard, if he had taken some concern for all that Harry has been dealing with, this is what Harry dealt with. Harry was dealing with the loss of his father. You know, Peter Parker or Spider-Man and the Green Goblin, Peter Parker and Harry's dad, they got into a fight. Harry's dad ended up dying. You know, Peter Parker, Spider-Man didn't kill him on purpose. It was an accident, really, but he got killed, you know? And so here Harry is dealing with the loss of his father. While dealing with the loss of his father, you know, the family business began to tank. It began to go down. Harry took over the family business, and he worked really hard to build the family business back up. The man is dealing with the loss a lot here. Not only that, he's dealing with the loss of his girlfriend. Not only is he dealing with the loss of his girlfriend, he's dealing with the loss of his girlfriend, quote unquote, to his best friend. Come on now. Not only that, he got involved in drugs. He got involved in drugs and alcohol, which caused him to have a very destructive, you know, behavior, do some destructive things, you know. He was messing his life up. He was trying, as in all the different places where he was trying to get his life back on the right track and trying to do the right thing, there was just things constantly happening to him that causing him to do the wrong thing. It's just like the Apostle Paul says, when I want to do right, I find myself doing wrong. When I want to do good, I do bad. Harry was constantly finding himself in a place where he wanted to do right, but he was doing wrong. Peter Parker had no regard for the things that Harry was dealing with. They both had been dealing with some loss. Peter Parker lost his uncle, you know, recently, actually in this same movie, he lost his uncle to the Sandman. You know, there were so many things that they both were dealing with. But Peter Parker had no regard, no concern. Maybe if he would have had compassion and empathy on him, maybe he would have tried to help him. But instead, he wanted to do what? He wanted to hurt him. Peter was only concerned about his own feelings and his own troubles, that he totally disregarded Harry's feelings and Harry's trouble. We're going to talk about selfishness, okay? Because whenever we talk about something, whenever we talk about different things that we deal with in life, we need to know, you know, how to identify certain things in our lives, because one of the things that we struggle with is deception. We're deceived in our own selves because we don't even try to identify certain issues or certain problems or certain things that's going on in our lives. If we can identify it, then we can address it, all right? So there's a lot of different ways that we can identify selfishness, or we can identify a selfish person. I'm not going to go through a whole bunch of them, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to help us to try to move away from it. Okay. But I'm going to give you one, just, you know, there's a lot of things, like I said, you guys, you know, can find some identifiers, but I'm just going to give you one. And it's like that one that is like, it stands out, at least to me, it stands out to me. And that is, this is how to identify a selfish person. When you're having a conversation with someone and they have the tendency to turn the conversation to themselves, that's a selfish person. How many, if you know what I'm talking about, just say amen, or just wave your hand, amen. You're having a conversation with somebody, amen, and they have this tendency, you know, we all do it. We all are guilty of it, okay? Because none of us is quote unquote without, I'm not saying that this is a sin, but none of us is quote unquote without sin. We all do things wrong. We all do things where sometimes we don't consider other people. We're considering ourselves. We're not perfect, but there are some people, they just do it all the time. Every single time you have a conversation with them, you know, at some point and real quickly, this conversation is going to turn to be about them. And you're trying to talk to them about something that's going on in your life. You know, and that's something that's going on in your life. It may not even be something major. You may not even be consulting in them. Y'all just sitting around having a cup of coffee, chatting. You know what I'm saying? You tell them about something that happened to you. And all of a sudden now, it's everything is about them. That's the person. When people do that, they are not concerned about what you got going on in your life. They're not concerned about what you're trying to say. They're not concerned about what you got going on. They're only concerned about themselves. This is a big identifier when it comes to identifying a selfish person, okay? There's a whole lot of other things. Y'all can Google it and look it up or whatever, identifiers for selfish people, amen? You just might be one of them. So if that's you, if you're in a conversation, if you have a conversation with people, you have a tendency to turn it to yourself, then you just might need to check yourself and say, you know what? I just might be a selfish person. Let me think about this one. Okay, so this is what I want to do. And we're going to start bringing this thing to a closure, okay? I'm going to give you some ways not to be selfish. So if you're a selfish person, all right? Because here's the thing about it. When God gives us a word, when God gives us his teaching, when God gives us his Bible, when we study the word, we shouldn't be studying God's word so that we could try to fix somebody else, all right? If that's you, stop doing that.
Amen.
If you're going to use God's word, if you're going to use scripture, if you're going to use, you know, the message on Sunday morning that your pastor be preaching, or that I be preaching, or whoever you listen to or watch, do not use that message. Do not use that word to try to fix somebody else. Amen. You use that for yourself. Amen. God's word is for what? Self edification. Amen. And if we can find self edification, then we can use that to do what? Do good works and bring him glory. That's what we need to be doing. So here are some ways not to be selfish. So like I said, during Easter Sunday morning, y'all remember what I was saying? During the whole message Easter Sunday morning, make it personal, all right? Make it personal. So I'm asking you all to make it personal. Have empathy. So here's number one, have empathy for others. How not to be selfish. First thing you need to do is have empathy for others. We lack empathy in this world today. We lack empathy. It's almost like it's a lost art, a lost cause. It's a lost characteristic that people have, and that is to have empathy on others. We need to have empathy for others. We need to care about their feelings. We dismiss people's feelings so fast, so quick, that we just don't even have no regard for them whatsoever. You know, when Margaret used to eat up my chips, you know, or eat up my stuff, it just wasn't with chips, y'all. I'm just going to tell y'all that right now. It was with everything, all right? All kind of stuff. Yes, it was.
It was with other things.
It was everything, you know? Some of y'all can relate. How many of y'all, you know, okay, husband or wife, y'all know, how many of y'all men can relate that in laying in the bed, your wife take up the whole bed, take up all the covers, all the pillows, take up everything, right? Leave you just an edge on it. Your leg hanging off the bed. Selfishness. That's selfish, ain't it? Say amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
They don't know they're doing it.
Women, y'all,
it's the opposite in my house.
It's the opposite in your house.
But we don't do that anymore, but.
We ain't never did it. You the one who did it. Anyway, okay, so here, when Margaret used to eat up all my stuff, you know, and leave me crumbs, it would make me feel like she didn't care about my feelings. It would make me feel like she didn't care about my stuff. I felt like she didn't have empathy for me, or she just totally disregarded my feelings. You know, I can understand, hey, she liked them. I can understand, hey, she was enjoying them while she ate them up. But the whole time she was doing it, she never once thought about me. That's how it would make me feel. She just didn't care about how was Byron going to feel that I left him some crumbs. All she thought about is, man, that stuff was good right there. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, it says, let us think of ways to motivate one to acts of love and good works. Eating up all my stuff does not motivate me to love and good works. It does the exact opposite. It causes me to get upset. It causes me to get angry. It causes me to be disappointed. It causes me to have some negative feelings. So we have to be very cautious and very careful when we're having empathy for others, that we are doing things or we're thinking of them in a way that will motivate them to acts of love, that will motivate them to acts of good works. We don't want to be a stumbling block to someone else. We don't want to cause someone else to slip and to fall or to do something that they shouldn't be doing. And so we have to make sure that our actions are not responsible for causing someone else to be a stumbling block. In other words, make sure that our actions is causing someone else to acts of love, acts of good work. Amen. Yeah. So number one is empathy. Number two is this: look for ways to help others. And this is something that there's so many different things that, you know, in our society today, it seems like good characteristic things, you know, things that motivate us or promote, you know, the fruits of the spirit. It seems like they are just, they're almost gone. You know, there are very few people that use these characteristic traits, these personality traits, characteristic traits, these fruits of the spirit, these ways of loving. Very few people use them anymore, at least on a regular basis. Amen. And so we need to look for ways to help others. We don't look for ways to help others. What happens is, you know, someone needs some help and they come our way, then we'd be like, oh boy, here we go again. You know, here we go. We dread helping people. In most cases, I'm not saying everybody, but in most cases, we dread. The book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, share each other's burdens. And in this way, obey the law of Christ. We need to be sharing each other's burdens. This is what the Apostle Paul is telling. He says, having regard, having concern for someone else, not being selfish. When people need help, when people are going through things, when people have burdens on their lives, we need to share in that. Share in that, meaning help, look for ways, look for opportunities to help them in that. And he said this, he says, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? To love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gave us two, he summed up the 10 commandments. into two commandments. He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And he said, and the second one is equally as important. Equally as what? Two lines like this right here. They parallel together. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the law of Christ. Paul says that when we look for opportunities where we bear each other's burdens, we are loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Peter Parker, he wasn't concerned about helping Harry. He wanted to hurt him even the more, not trying to help him. So here's another, number three ways not to be selfish. Number three way is to listen carefully to others. We need to listen carefully to others. Week before last, many of you know, I do video work, and I do photography work. Okay. I do a lot of multimedia work for people. Anyway, I was doing a workshop. This lady, she was teaching a workshop, and she wanted me to take pictures and do a video of the workshop. And this workshop was called Active Listening. And so she's teaching a group of college students about active listening. And when I'm listening to her, and it was like, I was able to pick out, I'm taking pictures and I'm doing video of this workshop. And it was like, there were several people in this workshop that were not listening. And I'm like, this lady is actually teaching on active listening and they ain't even listening. Half the stuff that she was talking about, they weren't even getting it because they was too busy talking. Talking about what? Talking about what? They own stuff. We need to care. So this is a way not to be selfish. Listen carefully to others. The book of James, chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. My dear brothers and sisters, listen to this. My dear brothers and sisters, y'all paying attention? That's what he's saying, okay? Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. There's a progression here, y'all. There is a progression that takes place here when you are a selfish person and when you do not listen. There's a progression that takes place. One, if we're quick to listen. If we don't listen, then guess what? We're going to be quick to speak. All right. So all you have to do is just look at the opposite right here. Look at the contrary of what he's saying right here, and you can see the progression right here. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to do what? Anger. If you are slow to listen, you're going to be quick to speak, and you're going to be quick to get angry. Just blew somebody's mind right there, all right? We need to listen carefully, all right? Here's another one going along with that. Do not interrupt people when they're talking. When people are talking, do not interrupt them when they're talking. So many times you're talking to people and they constantly interrupt you. You know, we all interrupt at some time, at certain different places. We interject or whatever like that, you know. And then you got some people like, hey, I'm sorry to interrupt. No, you're not. You're doing it on purpose. You're not sorry. Stop saying that. They need to wipe that out, the whole world's dialect of communication. Take that away. That's a lie, y'all. Anytime somebody say that, they're lying. They doing it on purpose. Do not interrupt people when they're talking. You know, to interject is different. Interrupting is something different, okay? Same scripture applies. The same scripture applies that I just gave you, James 1 and 19. Dear, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and be slow to anger. The same thing applies. If you are interrupting, then you are not listening. If you are not listening, you're only concerned about when you're interrupting people, you're only concerned about what you're trying to say. You're only concerned about what you're thinking. You're only concerned about what you want to get out. You're only concerned about your point that you want to get into it. You're not listening to what they're actually saying. When we're not actively listening to people, then what we do is we take certain words or certain phrases that they say and we run on that, as opposed to taking the entire thing that they're saying and giving consideration and regard for it. Sometimes people be looking at us like, you ain't heard a word I said. You're like, I did hear you. You said this. No, that's, I use those words, but that's not what I actually said. So do not interrupt when talking to people. If you're someone who interrupts all the time, you just might be selfish. Now, here's another one. Now, going, moving along. Put the needs of others before your own. We're going to go back to the scripture that we started off with in this particular lesson. That's Philippians chapter 2. Verses 3 and 4, it says, don't be selfish. It says, don't live to make a good impression on others. It says, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Don't think only about your own interests, but be interested in others and what they are doing. We need to put the needs of others before our own. Now, I want to go back to what I said in the beginning when I was talking about this scripture. The Apostle Paul is trying to get us to think a certain type of way. If we think a certain type of way, then we will act a certain type of way, all right? The Bible teaches us the law of Christ. Christ said to do what? Love your neighbor as yourself. This doesn't mean disregard yourself, amen? So we're talking about selfishness. We all have some level of selfishness, but we shouldn't have selfishness to a point where we disregard others. We shouldn't have selfishness to a point where we are not concerned about other people, all right? The Apostle Paul says to be humble, thinking of others better than yourself. What he's trying to get us to understand is in our shifting, take a paradigm shift in your thinking. If we think people, if we esteem people higher than ourselves, if we think of them higher than ourselves, what happens is we think of people, we esteem people kind of low. He says, raise that up, raise it up, be humble, be humble. Whenever you're humble, you're lowering yourself so that you can do what? Raise somebody else up. It's like a seesaw. You're sitting on a seesaw. You know, when you're on a seesaw, you have to work the seesaw to help the other person. Think about it. But those of y'all have ever been on a seesaw before. When you're on a seesaw, your total physical response and everything about working on it, riding on the seesaw to make it pleasant for both people, you have to push the other person. You have to push so that you are helping the other person. If you're not helping the other person, then guess what? Y'all going to be stuck. Somebody's just going to be sitting on the bottom. Y'all ever had that person that's sitting on the bottom, on the ground, and you up in the air on the seesaw, and you can't get down? You're like, come on, man. You got to do something. It's all about helping one another. Paul is saying, be humble. Lower yourself so that you can do what? Bring them up. And think about, so your concern for them, bring it up to a place of level. Your regard for them, bring it up to a place, all right? He says, be humble, thinking of yourself better than others. Why do we need to think of people better than our others? Because we're thinking of ourselves so high to where we can't even see them, that we can't even consider them. But if we start thinking about them better than us, guess what? It's not necessarily pushing them all the way up here and pushing us all the way down. What is it doing? It's leveling out the plane. It says, don't think only about your own interests. You only think about your own interests, but think about the interests of others. Leveling the plane. Amen. I hope y'all get that. I hope y'all understand. Consider, here's another one right here. I'm almost done. Consider others' personalities. Consider other people's personalities. This is one of the things that we don't do. We have a problem with doing this, and we don't consider other people's personalities. We treat everybody like they just like us. Everybody think like us. Everybody act like us. Everybody feel like us. Everybody hurt like us. Everybody smile, laugh. What makes me smile and laugh should make them smile and laugh. What makes me hurt should make them hurt. Not true. Everybody's personalities is different. Consider other people's personalities. We all are different people with different personalities. Everybody don't respond or feel the same way you do. So just because there's something that's going on, what happens is with a selfish person, we don't consider the fact that everybody has different personalities. And we treat everybody like they should be just like us. They should act like us, think like us, feel like us, everything like us. And so so this is all about you now, right? So everybody needs to be like you, right? So you're the template, right? You're the mold, right? Everybody, you think God made everybody to be like you? No, you ain't that special. You special now, but you ain't that special, okay? Consider other people's personalities. Amen. Yours ain't the only one walking around on this earth. How many people on this earth? 7 billion people walking around on this earth. And you think yours is the only one? Wake up. Remember, here's another one. Remember others on special days. Amen. I think I just got one or two more left, y'all. I'm done. Remember others on special days. This is a good one. I like this one. You know, there are some times where people have special things going on in their lives, special moments, special times that they need to be, should be celebrated. Amen. They need to be honored. They need to be rewarded or whatever. You know, we need to esteem other people and the different things that they got going on in their lives. And when these, when people are having these special days, we need to think about them. You know, maybe a birthday, a graduation, you know, it may be a anniversary, or, you know, sometimes they're very, you know, we may think certain things are very small. You know what I mean? Like my wife, she would, for years, she celebrated the anniversary of us officially dating. October 14th. Okay.
Ooh.
I know it because she won't never let me forget it. And she put me through the ringer. I had to ask her to be my girlfriend. And she had to tell me on a specific date.
That's not true. But it did fall on a specific date.
But anyway, the anniversary date of us dating is October the 14th. To her, that was huge. To her, that was a special day. You know, and I'm like, man, come on, leave that alone. That's, you know, and anyway, we need to remember special days. Your thoughtfulness goes a long way. Your thoughtfulness goes a long way. You want people to celebrate you, but you don't celebrate them. You have things going on in your lives and you want people to be there for you and, you know, toast you and say, be your cheerleader and everything and say hooray for you and pop bottles for you and all that stuff. But you don't do that for them. You need to remember people's special day. A selfish person don't remember special days or special moments for other people. And here's one more. I think this is my last one. I got two more. Don't be judgmental. Do not be, my time is running away from me. I'm finna move fast, y'all. Do not be judgmental. The book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, it says, give and you will receive. It says, I'm finna mess y'all up right here, okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 38, it says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, will make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. Amen. Did you know 9 times out of 10, maybe 10 times out of 10, every time you hear this scripture, somebody is talking about tithes and offering, a special offering or something like that. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, making more room for you, running over and poured out into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. We always hear the scripture when it's talking about tithes and offerings or special offerings and all different things. It seems like it's always centered around money or giving or some sort. Did you know? I got this thing. I haven't done it in a while. I got this thing I used to do in our live services. That was a did you know moment. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is a did you know moment. Did you know that when Jesus said this, he was not talking about tithes and offerings? But 9 times out of 10, you hear the scripture, they're talking about tithes and offerings. Jesus was not talking about tithes and offerings when he said this. Okay, that was verse number 38. That was Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Go back and look at it yourself. In verse 37, the very verse that's just above this, he says this. Jesus says this. He says, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will, he said, do not condemn others or it will come back against you. He says, forgive others and you will be forgiven. Okay, let me say that one more time. Do not judge others and you won't be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Right after that, he says it. He says, give. Give what? No condemnation. Give what? No judgment. Give what? Forgiveness. Man. This is what he's talking about here. He says, if you give no condemnation, if you give no judgment, then guess what? The same thing that you measure out will come back to you.
Amen.
You ain't going to be judged. Don't judge people. The same measure is coming back to you. You ain't going to be judged. Don't condemn people. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to that the world might have life. I came to give the world life. I didn't come to give them judgment and condemnation. He said, don't condemn people. And the same measure is going to come back to you. He says, do what? Forgive. Forgive others. And guess what? You will be forgiven. The same measure is going to come back to you again. We need to stop being judgmental. When you are judgmental, you are in your own selfish feelings about what other people are going through. Somebody is, why you judge people? Because they're going through something. They're dealing with something. Something's going on in their lives where they may have responded or acted or dealt with it or said something that maybe you don't approve of. It's not like what you would do. It's not your personality. It's not how you feel. It's not how you respond. It's not the way you would do things. And so what you do, you judge them. You judge them. You're not caring about what they're going through. You're only caring about what you're thinking and how you feel about the situation. You're only concerned about your selfish feelings about what they're going through. We are not considerate of their situations. When we are judgmental to people, we're not considerate about their situation. Amen. Give, and you will receive. Amen. We're to say, in full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it will be poured out to you. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you give back. Amen. Amen. Be honest. Here's another one. Be honest and be loyal. Proverbs 17, chapter 17 and verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times. Amen. And a brother is born for what? Adversity. A brother is born for adversity. What does that mean? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. The best way to know if someone is loyal, if someone is loyal to me, watch how they respond in times of trouble. Watch how they respond when adversity hits you. That's how you can tell. When you're going through some tough times, some rough times, some stuff that happens, that's how you can tell. Be there for people when they need you the most. I remember a time when we were living in Des Moines, Iowa. I was in a dark place. I was experiencing some dark things. And it was dark, y'all. I didn't know if I had a friend. I felt like I had no friends. I felt like I was alone by myself. I felt like I was walking through the valleys of the shadows of death. And a guy came to me and he said to me, he said, Pastor Byron, he said, I heard about the situation. He said, how you doing? I said, man, I gotta be honest with you. I said, it's rough. It's rough, man. He said, man, well, he said, I just wanna let you know. He said, I done heard this and I done heard that. And he said, I just want you to know that, you know, I'm here for you. And he said it in a way that let me know that he was completely sincere, without judgment, without condemnation, without selfishness. He was totally 100% considering my feelings and considering what was going on in my life at that time. He showed himself to be loyal. Adversity hit me in the hardest way, and he was there. He was there when I needed him. Be there, be loyal, and be honest. Amen. Take serious. The last one. I keep saying I had two more. I promise you, these are the last two, okay? I promise you. My list keeps getting longer and longer for some reason. Take seriously the advice of others. It says you are not always the smartest person in the room, especially when you're dealing with your own mess. Sometimes we're in our own mess so deep that we can't see. We can't see the truth. We done already been deceived. We done already been engulfed by the situation. Proverbs 12 and 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to wise counsel. Listen to wise counsel. In other words, if all right, I'm just gonna leave that. Y'all got that. Listen, take seriously the advice of others. Sometimes people are giving you some wise counsel. They trying to give you some good advice, and you're so selfish that you can't even see it because you think you're smarter than they are. You think you got it figured out. We are not the smartest person all the time, amen? Amen. The last one is this, return favors. A selfish person will receive favors but never return them. Mm. Proverbs 11 and 24, it says, one gives freely and grows richer. Another withholds what he should give and suffers lack. Whoever brings blessings will be blessed. And whoever waters will what? Will be watered. Return favors. Do not be a selfish person. Amen. And in closing, I have a couple of closing quotes. Selfish people don't consider how their decisions affect others. Their own convenience is all that matters. I said it one more time. Selfish people don't consider how their decisions affect others. Their own convenience is all that matters. Another quote is this: selfish people tend to only be good to themselves. Then they are surprised when they're alone. When here's another one. When you have given nothing, ask for nothing. If you ain't given nothing, don't ask for nothing. Amen. Here's another one. Last one. No, two more. The most miserable people are those who care only about themselves, understand only their own troubles, and see only their own perspective. If you cannot see the perspective of somebody else, you're a selfish person. If you can't see nobody's troubles but your own, you're talking to somebody. You know, we in the car, I tell you about people who always, you know, turn the conversation to themselves. It's a great identifier for a selfish person. They always turn the conversation to themselves. You're telling them about some troubles that you got going on in your life, something that's going on in your life. And now it's a counseling session about them and their lives because of what they did. They turned it to themselves. Last one is this. The world is full of selfish people. Don't be one of them.
If this message was a blessing to you and you would like to support this ministry in a financial way, you can donate electronically by texting to 84321 and enter the dollar amount you'd like to donate in the message area. Or you can mail a check or money order to Crosstown Church of Memphis, P.O. Box 40981, Memphis, Tennessee 38104. We invite you to visit our website at www.wearecrosstown.com for more information about our church. Join us for our next broadcast next Sunday at 10 a.m. Be blessed and be better.